Let's actually start with the next presentation. So we have Ruben, which I mentioned briefly when Timote was speaking about collaboration between open source projects. So he's more or less trying to build around that idea. So let's see what Ruben has to present and then try to collaborate if it's something of interest. Ruben, thank you for coming.
Thank you. All right, can everybody hear me? Okay. So. Like it says on the screen, my name is Ruben, and I'm here not to give a talk about a technical subject today, but I'm going to talk about collaboration. Collaboration is what binds us together. It's like the glue between our communities, between the people in our communities. It's what propels us to build new and exciting technologies, and specifically for this RTC DevRoom, is what propels us to build communication technology that evolves the way humans communicate with each other. But things don't always start out as a collaboration. Things start out as an idea. Or things start out as something that isn't there yet, but there's a need for it. Maybe the USB pet rock is not a good presentation of that, but. And lastly, it could also be an idea, an idealism. Seeing the world in a way that it could be better and trying to work towards that. Well, there's all kinds of people that started out with this idea. And I'm sure you'll recognize most of these people. Mr. Linus, Mr. Stallman, Mark Shuttleworth from Ubuntu. But it could just as well be you. That idea can start with you right here, right now. So why am I talking to a room full of open source developers about collaboration? Because that's our bread and butter, right? That's what we do. That's why we are here at FOSDEM. Well, it's basically because I'm trying to collaborate in my own way. And I want to take you back about 6 months ago. I work at a company called Spindle. We are a wholesale VoIP provider, and we make tools that people can use to freely and openly communicate with one another. And about 6 months ago, we recognized that, well, about 80% of our platform runs on open source software, but we're not giving back that much. Or at least we thought we were, because most of our software that we built is default open source. So why are we not contributing then, you might ask? Well, because 80% of that code is specifically written for the things that we do in our company. So just throwing it over the fence at GitHub is not going to make things a lot better, because nobody but us can really use it, right? So we were flabbergasted. We have no issue requests and no pull requests and no stars or watches in our GitHub repository. What's going on? We need to change something. So then we started thinking, what can we do as a company to try and give back to the community that gave us so much, that gave us the opportunity to do what we do every day? And that's when we came up with the idea of the Open VoIP Alliance. And the Open VoIP Alliance is the idea to collaborate between open source projects within the VoIP and RTC spaces. It can be collaboration on code, can be collaboration on sharing knowledge with one another through meetups or through events. Collaboration in the broadest sense of the word. I see the Open VoIP Alliance as a place where people who are interested in RTC and VoIP can come together, explain their issues that they're having, talk about their experiences, and come up with new projects or support existing projects. And I want to focus on that last part a little bit. Set up new projects and support existing ones. Because I'm sure that a lot of the people in this room are using some form of VoIP or RTC project in their company, in their daily lives, as a hobby. And there are ways that you can give back to these communities. Sometimes it's a bit hard to see how you can do this. And that's why we're trying to do the Open VoIP Alliance, to see if we can come up with ways that we can together make it better for everyone, not just us as a company or you. So what have we done so far? Maybe give you a little glimpse of what has been going on in the last 6 months. First, we are developers, so we created a website, obviously, and we wrote a manifesto with the ideas that I'm laying out in front of you now. You can check it out on openvoipalliance.org. And 6 months ago, we had no members. Right now, we are at 10. They're both companies and projects. For example, I've talked to people from Homer and from Janus who have said that they're interested in these ideas to try and increase the collaboration in this space. We're looking for more members always, so if you want to join us, I would say come and check us out on the website or on our forum. So we have a discourse forum, which is right now used for discussions about different projects, projects that are being launched or issues that people are having. So go check that out as well. And we also launched our first project a few months ago called the Webphone Lib. And it's basically a wrapper around zip.js. For those of you who are not familiar with it, it is a JavaScript tool to send zip messages with the browser. And we created a wrapper around that because we wanted to abstract away the zip messaging part and just talk about phones on a browser. Instead of saying, I want to send a zip invite message, we want to say, I want to call with my web browser, to make things easier for people just getting into the field. We also released a GitHub repository template because we were getting questions from some companies that said, we have this piece of software that we would like to open source, but we're not sure how can we do this. We're not native in the open source language. And we came up with some ideas, some best practices that were gathered from different communities on how they run their open source tools. And we have now released it on GitHub so that you can clone the repository or just look at the examples. So things like license information, GitHub issue templates, GitHub pull request templates, all different kinds of things that can help a community start out. So what's next? Well, this is a little bit of a short list. I would love for this list to be longer, but this is for the next, let's say, 3-6 months. So what are we focusing on right now? First, we want to host our first digital meetup to do some kind of knowledge sharing, have discussions with people, or have debates around certain subjects that are playing in the VoIP and RTC fields. Something else is we want to set up some kind of shared infrastructure. So what we're trying to do with this is helping the projects that are already existing to give them the tooling that they need so they can focus on the things that are important for them, which is fixing bugs, responding to issues, or releasing new features. And we're trying to do that by, for example, setting up CI/CD tooling for them, helping them with bug trackers, setting up mailing lists if they want to, Git hosting, web hosting, all the kind of edge things that are needed to run a successful open source project. That's something that we would like to help out with. And then last, we also want to set up a proper governance structure, because right now we're not a corporation, we're not a foundation. We are just a bunch of people who want to give back to the VoIP and RTC communities. We have some ideas of how we want to do this. For example, in the company that I work in, Spindle, we work with a model called Halacracy, which is like a self-management type of model, which makes it very transparent whose accountabilities and whose roles you need to talk to get things done, and can evolve very transparently as well. So that's something we're looking into, if we can implement that in an open source type of way. Yeah, so that's basically my talk. I have asked some of you to fill in a little slip. My colleague Yuka has came by with a little piece of paper which said, what is your name and what technological problem are you currently struggling with? So I'm trying to do a little bit of an experiment here to see if we can, in real time right now, solve some of the issues that people are having with the projects that they're working on or with the software that they're working with. So let's see if we can if we can combine some people. Thank you. Right. So first off, all right, Alexander says, I don't have any technical problems. Well, very good, Alexander. Right, so Federico says he has technical problems with cloud load balancers. So anybody that has knowledge on cloud load balancers, and I'm thinking, Kubernetes, is that what I have to think in that direction? Yeah? Is there anybody that has experience with load balancing things in the cloud? Yeah? Well, maybe you can talk about this. This is just an experiment to see if we can get some collaboration going. So
we can use the mic if anybody wants to participate, so it's in the recording.
Yeah. How long do we have? We've got 7 minutes. All right.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay, so we have a question from Lorenzo, and he has a problem with WebRTC scalability. And I know that Lorenzo is one of the leading figures in WebRTC. So is there anybody that can help Lorenzo with scalable WebRTC?
That's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
Trick question.
So if anybody knows something about WebRTC scalability, talk to Lorenzo over here.
Typically, it's the other way around. When we have problems with your WebRTC, you ask Lorenzo.
Yes. Okay, so we have a question from Rosa. She says she has problems with different versions of the same software. Rosa, is that you? Can you explain what the problem is you're having?
I work in a company and they develop a software, and we have the same software but with 50 different versions because each customer has modification and it's not the same.
Yeah, that's a very well-known problem, I would say. I think a lot of companies struggle with this. Is there anybody in the room that says, I can help Rosa with that, I've dealt with that in my life before, or I know something to do with that? Nobody struggled with this before? I can't believe that.
We struggle, but we haven't fixed it.
Maybe that's the issue. Well, then maybe this is a good pool of things that we can talk about later.
We're sort of running to that as well because our upstream has to use a slight modifications from time to time. And unfortunately, this requires a little bit of engineering effort when you design features so that things can be plugged in and plugged out. And sometimes not everybody is willing to make the effort or spend the time. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
If you manage to do it, at least the way we do it is with what we call the branded builds, which is we take the source code, then we apply something on top, typically designed in such a way that it doesn't modify the existing thing. It just adds things that are auto-detected. And this way, we don't deviate from the main line too much.
All right. I think that's maybe a good start for trying to solve your question. All right, I have a few more left, and I think I have a few more minutes, so let's just see what we got. We have Elio, and he says that he has a problem with scaling software oriented to small and medium businesses to manage lots of thousands of calls, PBX mainly. Yeah, that's your question? All right, well, is there anybody here that knows how to scale up PBXs? We've got Rosvan over here from OpenZips. I'm sure that he can help you because we use their software to scale as well. So,
yeah, in some way, in our industries, in the last kind of 20 years, we accumulated a lot of knowledge on how to scale PBXs. More or less, if you can boil down to just two lines, it's like to have a redundant load balancer in the front and to shard the calls that must be on the same machine on the same machine. So fundamentally, you load balance all the call, generically speaking, and but you send the call that must be on the same machine to the same machine. So for example, conferences or things that must be mixed together. And that's it. I mean, there is nothing else. Then you open the Pandora box because obviously the devil is in detail. So you must have a clustering file system, you must have a clustered database, all the pieces must work together. But at the end of the day, you just load balance generic calls, but if a call must be on that machine, must be on that machine. That's it.
Thank you.
In other words, buy a good pizza Hawaii for Giovanni and we'll explain more.
Yeah. I think we have time for one more.
Yeah.
Yeah? Right, so I have a question from Tim. And Tim has a technical problem with shrinking our RTC web stack to run on even smaller devices. And smaller, I'm guessing, means less power. But that's an assumption.
Yeah. And we keep getting people saying we've only got, you know, 5 megabytes free on the flash, and the image is a lot bigger than that. So it's like, do we bother with it, or do we try and solve the problem? How does it work?
That's a very good question. I know we have some people that know things about WebRTC in the room.
Lorenzo?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe you guys can talk about this, or if there's anybody else in the room that can help them out.
Anyone still working with small devices, or you just throw your credit card and buy the blades from IBM and run your tiny PBX on it? So I know that Tim is working a lot with IoT, so anyone with experiences on IoT running real-time communication, WebRTC, or... okay. We still try to focus a lot on not making our project greedy on resources, because these days you think, everyone is affording hardware, but it's this critical infrastructure where you might need to put a small device in the top of a building, and no matter it's a hurricane, it's minus 20, it's whatever, and that's not cheap, and putting more resources, it's expensive. So yeah, shrinking down, as Tim said, it's sometimes useful.
I think it's actually going to get more relevant if you start looking at this idea that, like, people might run edge-based 5G. You might start to see things like conference servers sitting in cell towers, and or you know, encryption points or so, whatever. So actually, it's going to become an issue again, only in that zone, but also like cars and things like that. There's a lot of places where the technology's, I think, going to move out of the cloud and back onto the edge. Not all of it, but some cases. And so it's going to be interesting to see whether we can shrink stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. So actually, if you need to shrink and work with small devices, approach Tim. Probably it's again like the one that could answer you most of the question on this one. I think you have more. You have one more question? Or something?
I think that's all of them. So
okay, then maybe final remarks from.
If anybody has any questions, maybe we can try and answer them.
So joining the organization, what's the procedure? Because right now, I think maybe I'm not the only one here feeling a bit tired of having to create accounts on all the websites and so on and so forth, tracking passwords, just being part of another forum. Do you offer this integration maybe like GitHub ID or whatever, what we need to do? Because at the end, it's first a website where you try to get people together, and then maybe build more like organizational structure behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what's the process?
Right. So the process is really simple. Come talk to me. See if you want to join officially as a member of the Open VoIP Alliance. The forum has all kinds of OAuth implementations like GitHub or Twitter or whatever. So you don't need to make a new account to log into Discourse. But I would say that's where Most of the discussions are going on currently, and that's where we put our announcements and stuff like that as well.
Okay. Right. Any other remarks, final questions? If not, Ruben, again, thanks for presenting, and one more thing, last one for the last evening RTC party. And I saw Shlomi being here, so it's there. The other guys that helped us last evening with the dinner, thank you guys again, and especially now for the talk to you, Ruben. And let's see how it's going. Next year we want to see 10 slides only about
yes,
the members.
I would love to do that.
Organization. From Google to government.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Ruben.
Thank you.